play Return of the Mac.
Return. Just saying. Oh, you got to put it on the front of the, just for like 2 seconds though, because you know YouTube DC and stuff. So.
Yeah, YouTube's tough, man. I'm learning a lot about the tube. Shout out to Beezy, man, for all the.
Or you can like put it in like in a fade while we're talking, because then I don't think the DMC will catch it. Like you can't just play it without any sort of background to it.
So you saying it's time to get dangerous?
Yes, I'm all for it, man.
Bet. Say less. I've been waiting to get dangerous all my life. All
right, let's do this. Hello, 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 and welcome to episode 167 of the Super Weapon Podcast, the most overpowered podcast on the internet. It's your boy Darius, the artist, and as always, I got my co-host DC here with me today, back from the dead with the mothership. She's landed down.
All upgraded, baby, is DC God's favorite misfit, and I am back with an upgraded PC. We was doing a lot of troubleshooting, having a fun old time. Once again, got to definitely give a shout out to the brother BZ for coming through, Darius coming through, helping me per usual with my tech issues. We had to update the BIOS and a few things to get the sound right, but I'm very excited to be back. It seems like all hell wants to break loose when we take a little break.
Man,
all kinds of stuff was happening, and I was like, oh my God, I just want to talk about it. But yeah, we're here.
We missed a whole lot, man. It's crazy to think that it's been close to 2 months.
Really? I thought it had been like a month.
No, because the last time we uploaded an episode was September the 8th, which is insane, right? To think about it like that.
Damn.
But I'm glad we're back, man.
I think it's needed though. Maybe because we've been working hard, so maybe that was God's way of telling us like,
sometimes that's a way, you know, the big man or big woman upstairs tells you to slow down, man. But, you know, I'm glad we're back. Just like you said, we do have quite a bit to talk about. I mean, the industry just didn't slow down, you know, when we kind of hit the fall. You know, we've had a bunch of games come out. But we never really got to follow up on the Starfield conversation. And I know you said you wanted to take some time to talk about it. And I'm really curious to hear where you kind of sit with it. I mean, Microsoft has been in the news just in general the last couple of months. I mean, you know, they finally closed the big deal, the big $69 billion deal on top of that. So, I think they're in a pretty good place. But, yeah, what's on your mind about Starfield, man? Let's get into it, man.
Well, I'm glad you asked me there, fella. Howdy.
Not howdy.
Well, howdy's kind of my jam. I'm really trying to make that some kind of thing, but you know,
your
like
catchphrase.
But yeah, but I know we're a little late to the Starfield party. I know there's been like a billion reviews. People are still kind of talking about it. My thing is this: I don't want to rush through a game just to kind of be like the first person to talk about it. So I did a thorough deep dive of the game.
Right.
We don't even have to talk about it long, but the more that I play this game, I'll just say this, Bethesda, the more I play this game, the more disappointed I get in the game. I deleted the game to put Fortnite back on my hard drive. I probably won't be playing this game again. It's a lot of things that's been rehashed from previous titles. I feel like, how can I say this without being rude? I just feel like maybe there was a lot of pressure on them to get things done, so assets were reused, because there's like, it's not a feeling of progression with this game as far as when you look at the Bethesda timeline, right? You know, I think the peak of their timeline may have been Skyrim. That may have been like the.
So you feel like the top of the hill. You feel like they haven't built on the stuff that they've learned from their previous games, is what you're saying.
So like basically, they sold us a moldy muffin and disguised it as confetti cupcakes. Okay,
man,
it's like. Because think about it, when it first came out, everybody was giving it praise. But now when you look back, like all the same people who were giving it praise, like, wait a minute, hold on. Like a lot of people are kind of recanting their statements and the reviews are kind of changing. And I understand why. This is why when you have a game of this magnitude that's this large, you can't rush to these quick reviews, and you know, because the more you play the game, the flaws start to pop out. Like, there's a lot going on that's not good with this game. And one of my problems with Bethesda is you're going to rely on the community. Like, soon as the game came out, first of all, one of the biggest issues with the game, besides the traveling, we're not going to get on that. We're not going to get on load screen simulator. We're not going to talk about that. Another issue is with inventory management, right? Someone had to come out with a mod to fix that. Inventory management. Now, everything that I'm talking about to you guys today is with no mods. I played the game, no mods, just the base game on the Series X. And the inventory stinks. It's bad. Like, you can't, for a game to expect you to gather all these materials and craft and stuff, every few seconds you're encumbered. So you got to find something to throw away. And like, when you have a lot of legendary stuff, like, I'm finding cool stuff, but I'm like, what do I get rid of? I'm spending too much time managing my inventory, which takes so much out of the game. And that's just one problem. I can go on, but like I said, this horse has been kind of beaten
over the last month. I agree with you, man. I mean, it's funny, you know, shout out to BZ and, in a chat as well. He said he had to install the DLSS mod as well as the inventory.
Exactly.
Mod. I mean, I really feel like, and I agree with most of your take. I think, you know, the more that you play the game, there is a period where it feels like the game is getting better, but, and you're hoping to see more like development on the systems and things like the cool stuff that they introduce you to, but everything just seems kind of, you know, I've heard someone call the game, it's wide, but it's not deep. And I think that starts to wear on the play, you know, as you play the game. Because to be honest with you, I haven't played Starfield in, man, I think since before our break. That was the last time I played it. So it was sometime in September.
Yeah, because I was still playing it. You're exactly right. Because at that time, I was still playing it. I may have stopped playing it like 2 weeks ago. I stopped playing. And I was like, I don't see myself. Let me tell y'all this. At the same time I was playing this game, I'm also playing Spider-Man and I'm playing Cyberpunk. Those are my three games that I'm currently playing.
So let me ask you a question. And, you know, I think it's worth actually talking about as well, because, you know, we're getting to that point in the year where it's starting to be.
It does not belong in the game. It don't.
You know,
so it don't belong in that category.
Do you not see Starfield making any sort of game of the year list whatsoever?
It better not. I promise you, it's probably going to make somebody's list.
Yeah.
But if we're being completely honest, I don't think that game should be in the game of the year category. It shouldn't. That's just my opinion. But
I think if Baldur's Gate 3 didn't come out this year, it might have made a few lists. But because, you know, I was talking to Darkstar. Shout out to Darkstar, by the way. I was talking to him about this the other day. We were playing Apex. You know, he's asking me what game do I think is going to win game of the year. And ultimately, I think it's going to be Zelda. You know, I hate it. I think that's...
I'm going to stick with Baldur's Gate. I've said it a billion times. So Darius, just for our future predictions, Darius says Zelda. I'm going with Baldur's Gate 3, even though I don't remember 1 or 2. Gonna go with 3. Darius is chasing his cat. But I think Baldur's Gate 3 is going to win it. That game has... I remember, like, that game had so many people talking. It brought so many new people into the genre. So I'm going to stick with that, man. I'm going to stick with that. Man. We're going to see who prevails here.
I honestly, like I said, I just think it's going to be Zelda because, I mean, Breath of the Wild, when it came out, was such a huge franchise. Like, Zelda's always kind of been there for Nintendo. Nintendo just, I don't know why they just seem to sweep these awards and stuff. I mean, you know, you can't even forget about Super Mario Wonder as well. That just came out.
We were just talking about you, Darkstar. Howdy, player.
Man. Yeah, but I'm inclined to agree with you. I don't necessarily think Starfield is going to make any sort of game of the year list. I don't think it's going to. I mean, I'm sure it'll win some awards. I mean, the game's fun. It's fine, but I think this year,
Dog, it's so much, but I don't want to harp on it. We can get on the computer AI. We can get on. They've already got on to travel a billion times. We can talk about outpost building. We can, it's a lot. It's a lot going on where they have good starts. It has quote unquote good bones, but Starfield is not fleshed out at all. It's not fleshed out. When I'm going to planets, literally, it's too much open space. You go to planets, and then they try to soften the blow, talking about, well, we told you that, you know, some planets will just be resource planets, and it's too much of that. It's too big. That game suffers from being too big for nothing. That game could have been 10 planets thoroughly fleshed out, I believe. 10, 15.
I mean, I don't necessarily agree with that. I don't think their issue is how big the game is. I just think like the systems that they use for their open world games just haven't changed since Oblivion.
It really hasn't.
You know what I mean? And I think that's really the biggest issue.
But I mean, you know, it when you play the game, like I've been to planets, like it's a lot of just open space. Space combat, another thing, is so bare bones and basic. Like everything, it seemed like they got to step one in their process and they said, okay, that's good enough. We got a deadline to meet. Let's go to this. Okay, this is good enough. All right, let's go here. Like, yeah. I don't know, but to me, you guys go play it for yourself. It's on Game Pass if you want to try it out.
It's still a fun game. I think it's worth at least one playthrough.
Go play it and see. Like, the story is one of the more compelling parts of the game. What they did with the story and the ending, I mean, if you know, you know. I'm not going to say it just in case any of our viewers haven't beat it. But I think the whole ending thing is pretty cool. Even that needs a little bit of tweaking, but... And another thing I want to harp on before we move on, and this is for all games, not just Starfield. Man, if y'all not going to go in depth with the companionship thing, just leave it alone. I'm so tired of these useless companions, bro. Like, just leave it alone. It would be dope if you had a companion or a team and you moved them like, what is it? XCOM or what's those games?
I was going to say, I think that just once again, that goes back to just their style of action games. I mean, it's...
And I'm not just talking about Starfield with this.
The game's pretty clunky in that regard. I mean, it's a little bit more fluid, I think, than Skyrim, but... Yeah, I don't know.
I may have to disagree with you on that. It's been so many missions I've been on where my companion just get in my way. Then they end up just falling on the ground. They're big backpacks. They're over-glorified backpacks.
They're just there to hold your
shit.
You.
Like, look, I'm encumbered. Oh, come here. Hold some of this shit. Nah. But I think, I'm not going to harp on every little thing. Just a little quick little tidbit. I think if you're going to do the Elder Scrolls 6 like this, first of all, this is what I need you to do. Whatever you have for Elder Scrolls 6, throw all that shit away. Scrap it right now. Don't you dare do it. Don't. Bethesda, I'm telling you, whatever you're doing over there now, don't. Start over. Create a whole new system. I don't want none of your little Bethesdian ways in Elder Scrolls 6. Use your imagination. Get together, create a whole new system, man. I don't want to see nothing. We don't want 6,000 load screens. Learn from Starfield what people want and infuse it into Elder Scrolls 6, man. Take your time. I don't care if it comes out to 2034.
We'll see.
But this game, everybody's talking about this game like it was the truth when it first dropped. I drunk the Kool-Aid and bought it early.
It's still a good game. Still play it. Check it out. But when it comes to just, I think if this would have came out maybe last year or in a year where there wasn't so many great games, it probably wouldn't be judged as harshly. But I think I'm kind of right there with you, man. The more I played it, I don't think I'm going to return to it. I think I'm good. Might go back to Starfield. Skyrim at some point. Excuse me. Because I do.
Oh, I've been playing Skyrim. Yeah.
I do enjoy the survival elements of Skyrim. I think Starfield even had something like that, but. Either way it goes, that's good old Starfield, man. Our closing thoughts on that, you know, like I said, you had the Activision deal finally closed, which is great to see, man. How do you kind of feel about Microsoft right now, man? It seems like they're on a upward trajectory. I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves. Be like, oh, it's going to be like the good old 360 days where they just seem like they're dropping banger after banger, but you know, they now they have a full like. I mean, Activision is a huge studio for them to acquire.
I'm still at the point of do something. Like, you know, the meme where it's just like kind of poking it with the stick.
Oh, come on, come on.
But I know that realistically, I know that they're going to have to get acclimated to a whole bunch of different situations. I know it's going to take time. I know that we're not going to see immediate results, but I am looking forward to seeing what they're going to do, man, because you have all these studios now. You don't have any excuses anymore. Like, if you start dropping the ball, then, you know, honestly, it's going to look real bad for Microsoft, Xbox, whatever, as a whole, if they still, you know, continue to drop the ball with certain situations. Like, okay, they're deeming Starfield a win, which is true. Like,
it
I
is.
Said,
it is, man. It's a win.
It's a rough play, but I will still give them credit. It's a good play. It's a good start, but you know, they're going to have to like build up on that. They can't have any missteps. Like at this point, I just feel like Xbox can't have any more missteps, man. A lot of their fans, myself included, you know, we're waiting for the big W's, you know what I'm saying? Because I, for one, I'm like, okay.
I mean, where are we going to the industry's in a weird place, man, and we're going to kind of talk about it too.
Well, when we touch on like the layoffs and stuff,
but yeah, the industry's in a strange, strange place right now.
And that's what kind of like what I'm talking about when I say, you know, it's going to take time. Like realistically, because people, the interneting, they think, oh, well, y'all got all this stuff. Like they think like immediately results are going to just pop up out of thin air. If you guys haven't been keeping up with things, the gaming industry, even though we're receiving some of the best games of our lives this year, it's kind of rough out here, man. It's kind of rough out here. Like
6,000 major layoffs since the start of the year alone. The latest was Bungie this week, it was a mess, man. It's really sad to see. You know, you even have like, you know, studios always reporting record profits and whatnot, and you know, it's there has to be some sort of solution because you're getting people who are being basically kicked out of the industry. They spend their lives working on these games, and it wasn't just like lower level people. You know, particularly with Bungie, they dropped a couple senior level people. I mean, the guy who worked on Halo's musical score, who's been with the company for like 20 something years, was let go. And you look at what the film industry went through, what the writer's strike, you know, what they went through to get fair pay and wages. I honestly, I've seen a lot of talk about that happening, and there's a couple of resources that I do actually want to share that I think we should put under the podcast description for developers and people who are looking to help and support these people, because people are losing their, you know, they're losing their jobs, and then eventually, you know, bills start coming in, man. It's tough out here, and I think that kind of gets lost a lot. You know, when we talk about games that we love or, you know, hate or might have critical feedback of, you know, it's still people behind these games. It's still people who care just as much, if not more, than we do, who make these games, man. And you know, they may not always come out good, but you know, like I said, it's still people at the end of the day, and it's sad to see.
Yeah, man. If you follow me on Twitter, I've said it before. I've been on the ass end of that. I've been laid off a few times
this year.
It's not fun. It's, man, holy shit. Like, shout out to my job, man. Like, I've been there for 8 years. Thank God. You know, being laid off, that shit is not, I take personal offense when I see it on my timeline. I really do. Cause I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
Like, especially these people have families and like just coming home and having to tell your significant other, like, hey, babe, I got laid off. Like, it's demoralizing, man. You feel like less of a freaking man. Like, it really tears at your soul. Or ladies getting laid off too.
Yeah.
You know, just coming home, having to share that news and look at your kids in the face and still smile and still carry on. And like, you know, it's really, really rough out here now. So hopefully we can be a little, y'all guys could come here and we could be a little beacon of light.
Yeah, I don't know. I really do think we're heading towards some sort of labor unionization in the industry. And you know, it's, you know, it could possibly lead to some significant delays for games, you know, and that's kind of what I wanted to talk to you about. It's like, you know, what do you think? Do you think there is a realistic chance of people? Because, I mean, there's been a lot of conversation about it. The noise is only getting louder, man, about unionization efforts in the industry and what it looks like. I think it's we're steering towards that direction, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think people are, oh man, it's like us versus the machine, sort of, where right. People are kind of, you know, what's up, teacher bro?
Yo.
Hope your surgery went well, brother. Hope you're healing well.
Stopping by. Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate you coming through, brother. But yeah, back to the question. Yeah, man, I just think the little man is getting to the point of, it's not even getting like messed over. Like most people, they just want security, man.
Right.
Like people just want security. Like it's rough, man. Like I have no words for it. It's just like, I feel like, you know, these unions and stuff, things are going to come together because people want protection. You right. know, a lot of these companies, when those reports come in, them first, second, third quarter reports come in and numbers ain't numbering, and they like, oh, it's just easy for them to say, hey, well, we don't, what's going on? We don't need Darius's department. Go ahead, get rid of them.
Yeah, we can cut like the cost people, here. We didn't hit target revenue for this particular project, you know, which is what happened with Bungie, you know, a reported 45% revenue loss, which is crazy. Like you really look back on Destiny, man, and how long it's been in the industry. You know, we've been playing, we started playing Destiny like beta D1, and to mm-hmm. see where the games come now, where the studio is, man, it's just really sad. Like, it's just like you said, like, you know, people become numbers after, you know, expectations aren't met. And what I think is even worse was last year, Bungie put out a statement, and people have been kind of sharing around the internet. I don't know if you've seen it. When they were acquired by Sony, they promised there would not be layoffs. That was just a year ago.
Oh, man. Because they, I mean, I think they said something like that in good faith and feeling like they could meet certain numbers. They wanted right. to kind of assure their team that, hey, because I mean, they tell us at my job the same thing.
Right.
They're like, hey guys, you know, we have these, what is it? Our annual meetings, and our right. CEO get up there and be like, hey, you know, it's been a rough year, but we're going to make some adjustments, but we're not laying anyone off. And I can say that so far for the last like 5 years, he's kept his word. No one's right. been laid off. But, you know, you have places who they try. I think they don't go in with ill intent when they say something like that. It's more or less like,
no,
we want to build up the morale. We want you guys to know that you will be okay. Because on the top, like, everyone's not an asshole on the top. And I could say this, like, I would love to have my brother back on the show, because
yeah.
that's actually his job. He's in that position to where sometimes he has to make the tough decisions.
Make the hard choices, yeah.
He has to walk in and kind of tell people, and he'll tell you from a standpoint of, even for him, like, it's like, damn, like, he has to go home with that on his mind, like, yeah. I just let these people go. I potentially just made someone homeless. I just, you know, or whatever the case may be, I potentially just made,
I cut off someone's insurance
someone.
Who needed it, you know, who's
yeah,
family member.
I know
insurance.
This person. I know he has a son, a daughter, or I know he has a daughter with special needs, and I have to go in here and tell this guy, hey, we don't need him. So everyone's not a jerk with it, because it can be tiring on both ends. Like, yeah. I don't know, unless you're an evil person. Some people, you know, in the job industry, they can be assholes. They can, you know, they don't care. Hey, out of here. But, you know, the way we're headed now, it's going to be a rocky road. We're going to see a lot more of this, unfortunately.
Yeah, you're going to definitely see more consolidation across the industry. I mean, it's, you know, we've talked about it a lot, man, like how these budgets, the budgets for these AAA, quadruple A titles aren't getting any smaller, you know, so studios and publishers who are putting their money behind these projects, there's a lot of pressure on them to get it right. I mean, you can even look at a game, a studio like Rockstar, for instance. You know, Grand Theft Auto 6, any a picture of someone's elbow in the game could could leak, and it's going to make the game start trending. You know, a game like that has so much pressure to get it right. You know, I'm doing air quotes here. To get it right, to make the game better than 5, to exceed the expectations. You know, there's no telling what the budget for that game is. It has to be in the hundreds of millions of dollars. You know what I mean? So they have to recoup that some kind of way.
Exactly. And that's why I'm like, I love what Starfield is doing. Bethesda, I just want you to get out of your own way.
Sure.
Like, innovate. That's all I'm saying. My key word with them is be innovative. I feel like my theory with them is I feel like they get in these crunch situations, and I feel like they kind of rely on older things to kind of push them through. I could be wrong. Could be totally wrong. But
I mean, it could be a symptom, too, of the tenure of the people that work there. You know, because you've seen all the people that have been at Bethesda for decades at this point. And that's not to say, once again, you know, that's not to say the game is bad or anything like that. But in a year where you have your Legend of Zelda, your Mario's, your Spider-Man 2's, your Resident Evil 4's, your Baldur's Gate 3, you know, and that's just off the top of my head, the amount of games. Like, there's more games that have come out that are just, you know, quote unquote bangers.
Wait, let me say something real. Yeah, let me say something real quick. I want to speak to my Xbox people.
Yeah,
because
sure,
we're better than this. Stop review bombing Spider-Man 2.
Don't do
we're
that.
We're better
yeah,
than
you
this.
Guys are better than that.
We're better than this.
Shout out to Insomniac. Don't do that to them guys.
Yeah, don't you do that. I see y'all. I've been watching you. Stop review bombing Spider-Man 2. It's a damn good game, and I'm an Xbox. But damn it, you can't deny the greatness of Spider-Man.
It's
don't
an
do
incredible
that to Peter.
Project, man.
Don't do that to Peter Parker.
Yeah, man. Don't do the game like that. But you know, you just it's really it's all coming to a head. I feel like, and you know, you even look over at Sony. You had the CEO of PlayStation. He's retiring. I think her name is Connie Booth. This lady's worked on PlayStation since like the 90s. She retired. She was, you know, this word of her being fired and stuff, like all this change and stuff that's coming around the industry, because there's just this, you know, people call it a correction in the stock market. You know, you're having all this correction and consolidation, so it's going to get a lot harder out here. And you know, I mean, with the amount of games that come out every day, every year, I mean, you know, it's sad to see, you know, you know, just like DC was pointing at his PlayStation 5, you know, they report record numbers, but then, you know, people are like getting let go. I mean, Naughty Dog has had layoffs. Insomniac, who just dropped Spider-Man 2, had layoffs earlier this year. I mean, there's been plenty of studios who you would think there's no way this studio is going to, you know, lose people, or, you know, they're going to shut down. But I'm telling you, man, over 6,000 people in the industry, man, that's, I don't think people really understand how many developers that is, artists that is, that are probably never coming back to the industry because of how they were treated.
Yeah, and one thing that I want to say to all the people, to the younger people this may reach, I don't want to say this to discourage you. Mm-mm. And to our brother Davies, aka Flake, aka Teacher Bro, that's in the building, you know, he's a teacher as well.
Yeah.
Kids want to get in this industry, and they have a false perception of what this industry really is. Like I said, don't want to say this to sound discouraging, but this is a tough industry. Do your research. Do your due diligence. Do your research, because all people see is games. All you see is the end result, but it's a lot. It takes a lot to become established in this industry. Hey, my good bro host Darius, he has a degree.
Yep. And I burned out real quick.
Burnt out. Like working with indie studios, and it's a lot, man. It's a lot. I just want people to think. This is all I'm saying. Don't want to discourage you. I just want you to think. If you're a teacher, like our friend in the chat here, if you're talking to kids and that's the way they're kind of swaying, just let them know, you know, you have to do your research. And if it's something you still want to do, if you feel like you can make it, by all means, go for it. But
and it's just like,
I come from a college. We both come from a college where people had a lot of false representations. And then when they found out how hard it was, they was like,
and it's no, they and fell off. No longer there too. Like on top of that, but
that's another story. We gonna make that to, that'd be
awesome. We should have like a round table with all of us, like all the AI students.
That would be fire.
I think that's a great idea, actually. But honestly, I think, you know, the best thing I would tell, you know, people who are interested, whether you're young or old or whatever, man, is, you know, develop multiple disciplines and multiple passions for things in the industry. You know, make it harder for them to get rid of you. You know, if you just want to be an environment artist and just make hard surface objects all day, you know, that's, hey man, there's a million of you. There's a million people who can do that, I promise you. And probably more than half of them can do it better than you. So, you know, always look to learn, to become more, you know, hey, get more interested in the business side of the industry as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes, sir. Yep.
You know, a lot of people think just to work in games, you have to be an artist or a programmer or a writer. No, you can work in the business side as well. And then, you know, those are the people on that side who can make the right decisions and, you know, really instill change in the industry. Because, you know, just like with any other industry, the people who hold the most money are the ones who make the decisions. So, yeah, it's a lot of broken promises. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Just, oh, yeah. I was just typing in the chat. Oh, yeah. Look. Let me tell you something. And if she ever talked to any recruiter, I would gladly go up there and talk.
Same. Exactly.
I'm talking about as far as military go, I will go up there and I will just sit and listen. Then I'm like, hey, yo, stop bullshit, man. Because they're going to lie. I'm like, I was in the military. I'm just going to bust their bubble.
They're going to try to upset you, man. It's all a business, you know, and it's unfortunate. But, yeah, like I said, guys, I have a couple of links and stuff that I've been gathering for the support of people who have lost their like jobs and stuff in the industry, man, just share it around. You know, there's, like I said, man, there's people who are going to be struggling, who are going to go through a hard time. And, you know, it's the holidays are coming up, man. Like, you know, just do what you can, support your favorite developers. And, you know, I know it sucks. Those people might got let go and people are inclined to not purchase the game or play the game anymore. But, you know, that's only going to make things worse, in my opinion, you know. The more people that stop playing, the more hard decisions they'd have to make. So it's a tough decision, but yeah,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's, you know, sorry to get on that somber note, but we'll talk about some fun stuff, man. Let's talk a little bit about Twitch and TwitchCon and
TwitchCon,
the huge news that Twitch announced at TwitchCon with simulcasting and multi-streaming. You know, I'll have to say this before we dig into this for real. I really want to say this, man. I was really hard on Dan Clancy, the guy who they announced as the CEO who came from Amazon. I was hard on him when he first came in. You know, when we talked about it, when he first got appointed, I thought he was going to be another just suit. But he's
not active, involved, or nothing,
yeah,
right?
I thought he was going to be like that. And he has changed my opinion 100%. And Dan is, I think, the best thing that has happened to Twitch in the last couple of years. Full stop. I know that might be a little premature.
Man, and this is why I love this guy. We always sit on the opposite ends of things. I'm still watching you, Dan.
No, of course.
Because Twitch ain't had a scandal in a while. I'm proud of that, okay? Keep it up, buddy.
So the big news that we're talking about and referring to, so as of, I guess it was last week or the week before, if you stream on Twitch, you have the ability to simulcast or stream on multiple platforms now without any sort of punishment, even though they weren't really enforcing it. So if you wanted to stream on YouTube at the same time as Twitch, YouTube, Kick, TikTok, all those, you know, platforms and stuff, you can get on there, which is really awesome, man. And I think I'll have to say this, it's about time, Twitch. Like it's about time, man. And, you know, shout out to Moonlight Mel. Hey, shout out to Moonlight in the chat as well. Hey, if you guys are listening to the audio version of the podcast, man, we do record this every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern, man. So please stop by, say hello, come hang out with us, man. We appreciate you guys being here, man. But yeah, I think we're entering a new age in the content creation space where, you know, you're getting away from that platform agnostic, you know, the, hey, you can only be here. We only want you here. We don't want you other places. How do you kind of feel about this news, man? Do you think this is going to like lead to big changes like going forward for the industry?
I'm always hopeful, man. I'm always hopeful. You know, like you said, there's been a lot of things going in the positive direction, which I'm always a fan of, man. I'm always, for all my content creator friends and stuff, I look around and I see these things. And we have BZ in chat. BZ is a good source of information because, you know, he reposts these things a lot on Twitter. He doesn't gatekeep or block information from anyone. He's an open source of information.
True.
And I, you know, I'm going to pick his brain on some YouTube things. So all of us, like, you know, we gain nothing from hiding information.
Yeah,
you know, if I can help you any way I can, I'll help you. But back to your question, I see Dan doing the work, man, and I think it's amazing. You know, you always want to work on your product, whatever it is. You know, you want to make these tweaks. You want to kind of read the room. You want to see what the people in Twitch want, you know, and then try to make the adjustments. And he seems like he's there, man. You know, he was at, God, what was that? He was at Bunch of Jay. I can't think. You know, blending in with the people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he was hanging out.
He was out there. He was like, he's not this mysterious man behind the curtain. He's out there talking to the people. And so far, so good, man. Like, I want things to win. Like, you know, I might be a dark little demon sometimes, but I love to see things win. So when he makes these adjustments, you know, everybody in the community wins and we could benefit from this stuff. And it's something that all my content creators need to kind of be abreast with, you know, kind of keep up with. And that's why I say people like Beezy and stuff retweeting,
making tutorials.
Yeah. Yeah, making tutorials about how to improve your stream. I'm just like, if you know me, y'all know how big I am on tutorials and I judge them harsh. Okay.
All tutorials are not created equal.
Only thing I have to say bad about Beezy's last tutorial is that man had his glasses off and I could not stop laughing. He looked like he was going through hell with the contacts on.
I know why you're here.
He looked like he was going through it without his contacts. But shout out to Beezy, man. He's such a dope guy, man. Oh, he always gets our praise around here. But anyway, yeah, Twitch. I want to see you win, baby. No scandal free. All right.
I don't know, man. Like, I feel like Twitch is, they're really showing a lot of confidence they haven't recently. You know, you haven't had a public face of the platform.
And all right, now I got to put Beezy on timeout. I'm sorry.
See the
he's in chat acting crazy, y'all. I'm sorry. Go ahead, bro.
But no, you haven't had a public face of the platform since DJ Week quit, and you know, a lot of people were just kind of wondering, and you know, people are always looking for that next platform, and you know, we can talk about Kick and how they've been conducting business, and I'm not a huge, huge fan of how they do a lot of the things that they've done, but I feel like platforms like Kick and YouTube really have forced Twitch to make a lot of positive changes. And, you know, that's not to take any credit away from Dan or anything, but I feel like this was just like a really needed thing for Twitch to continue to thrive and survive with the market share that they have. I mean, you know, Twitch is still, in my opinion, the best place to stream. It's also the hardest place to stream, in my opinion. You know, it's hard to grow. So you really have to think about how you're going to move on these other platforms. And if you're not thinking about multi-streaming, man, as a content creator or live streamer, man, you're going to get left behind so fast in this new age. I mean, we're getting real close to Black Mirror territory. I know I like to joke about it a lot, but I feel like we're crossing over into that Ready Player One, you know, everything is a part of the same universe, that media world, just like Fortnite. You know, they've thrown so many characters in from all these different franchises and stuff. I mean, I kind of feel the same way about streaming. I don't know.
Yeah, you definitely, the thing is in this game that we're in, and that's why I think God has literally given us this month and a half, 2 months break to sit down. I really just been doing a lot of just research and stuff on YouTube. I love YouTube. I love making thumbnails. I come to the conclusion that we do a divide and conquer with you on the Twitch side, me on the YouTube side, and we form like Voltron. But yeah,
we're gonna be everywhere now, man. That's the great thing there. Like, there's no more barriers to stop you from creating content now. Like, you know, Twitch really opened the floodgates for that, which is cool.
Yeah. Especially with the multi streams, which, you know, that's going to benefit everyone in a big way.
Yeah.
So all you got to do is just kind of get you a formula, find out what works for you. Some people work full time, some people work part time.
And pick just a some few people... platforms to start with. Don't go to nine mm-hmm. different platforms all at once.
Don't burn yourself out.
Yes.
Figure out a schedule that works for you. That's the key thing. I tell people all the time, they look at other people. People are so impressionable. They look at other people, other streamers, other content creators, and they look at their numbers and they say, this is what I have to do.
Yep.
I'm like, no, because what works for BZ, I wish I could work at the speed of like BZ. I wish, but that don't necessarily work for me. I have to find out my formula.
Exactly.
And then work my formula into the grand scheme of what I want Super Weapon to be. Teacher Bro may have something else going on. I know him and his wife streams. You know, they have a child. They both have full-time jobs, you know. So you got to find out what works for you. At the end of the day, it's all about figuring out what works for you. But you know what's going to make that work? Consistency.
Tis
you got to be consistent. Well, if you're going to do Monday and Tuesday, I better see your ass every Monday and Tuesday. If you're going to do a whole 5 days out of the week, 5 days out of the week. But y'all get what I'm saying, right? Right. But
that's
speaking of Twitch,
but yeah, man.
Wait. Let me be the segue king. Speaking of Twitch, someone was streaming from jail last week.
Look,
I'm
man.
Bad at it. I'm gonna lead the segue.
No. You're
it,
fine. Right? Hey, look. All I'm gonna say about that is I'm not gonna bash. I'm not gonna tear down anyone.
This is constructive criticism, young man.
It's not about being getting a hot take or anything like that, man. I just think there are better ways for content to be made and ideas to be executed outside of just doing things that our community deals with on a daily basis. And you know, shame on the young man. You know, he still has a lot of learning and growing to do, but you know, he'll learn and grow. I'm not with it, man. I'm not with the jail stream, the 7-day jail stream. I just think it's corny. That's just the nicest way I could put that.
And me, I'm just going to jump off the goddamn cliff here. Hey, Kai, you're too big, man. You're way too big for that. You're one of the world's biggest, youngest, brightest stars. You're talented, man. You're doing it. You got, like, bro, you're doing amazing things. With that being said, my personal opinion, I feel some of the sentiments that Darius is saying with, we can do without that, man. We deal with that enough, just being black in America. I'll say it.
Yeah.
Just being black in America, we deal with the system. We don't have the greatest relationship with the system, jail, police, whatever, right? I just feel like there's other things that could have been done. Hey, you the man, do what you want. But you got to remember, man, who's your audience? You have a lot of young people who look up to you, man. You got
very
a lot of young people
audience.
Who look very impressionable. You know, I know it was all fun and jokes. And by the way, chat, it was not a real jail. This was simulation.
It was all scripted.
But
it
was all scripted. He wasn't in a real jail. They even tried to do like a scared straight to kind of throw a little positive twist on it. And there was jokes.
Like
you had Drewski.
Done, man.
You had RDC in there. You had T Grizzly in there who ran through a wall, bust his face.
I'm not gonna lie, when he fell, that was kind of funny. All right, it was.
He almost.
I'm glad he's
himself.
Okay, but holy shit! Like,
shout out to T Grizzly. But
I chuckled.
You could do this, but I want to see you later on down the road, come up with something crazier, like crazy creative, like. Think outside the box, man. I think jail is just low-hanging fruit. Like,
yeah.
They was in there acting like doing just really... Every time I tuned in, it was just like something weird going on. I just didn't get the big hype around it. But, hey, shout out to Kai, man. But just think outside the box, bro. Do a little bit better.
He's gonna keep growing, man, and I hope he keeps learning from his...
Yeah, he's
going to
be around a while. We're going to see Kai around a while. Just, I don't want any more riots in New York, man. Just stay out of trouble.
Oh, man. Wow.
Stay out of trouble, bro. Just stay out of trouble. We wish you the best. One day I'll see you in the street. I dap you up, man. And that's how I'm rocking with that situation.
Yeah. You know, we'll see. But yeah, I think that's a good note to drop her on off, man. Hey, it's good to be back, guys. I just want to say that, man. you know, we're not going to rush out of here. I just want to say I really do appreciate you guys showing up today. A lot of our great usuals, or, you know, even people who don't normally stop by, man, during the weekends to listen to the podcast, man, I appreciate you guys showing up. We have missed you guys dearly. We have some very fun plans scheduled. We're planning a sort of roundtable discussion that we will have some more details for you guys on for the end of the year with a couple of the content creators we're partnering with, man. We're trying to, you know, collaborate some more with some really cool people and do some really cool things and, you know, really bring some value to this part of the industry, man. Like, we really want to try to live what we preach around here and not just, you know, virtue signal and all that good stuff. But I just want to give a quick shout out to everyone here, man. Shout out to my bro DC, man. It's good to have you back, bro. I'm happy you've gotten your PC back. You know, you were not the same without it, man, without the mothership.
And I was naked out in these streets, man. I was streaming from my Xbox.
He was trying, man, but I'm glad to have you back, man. And it's gonna be a good time, man. And I'll give you the floor, bro. I'll let you have the end of it.
Oh man, I got so much to say with so little time. All right, guys, I am back. We got the mothership back up. I'm like about to do this whole main gear promo because they gonna
go for it. Go for it. Yeah.
So no, but all jokes aside, main gear, they literally reached out to me every day. If it wasn't phone, text, email, they kept me up to breath with what was going on with my computer. You know, I had a few, if you guys don't remember, it was like my screen was flickering, my icons was dancing all over the screen. Some weird stuff was happening here. But main gear, shout out to them, man. I sent it back because it's under warranty. You know, they did their thing. They gave me, like, they upgraded my motherboard. We rammed out, baby. We maxed
upgrade,
out on the RAM.
The bleeding edge. Awesome.
You know, hopefully when I'm editing and I'm adding effects that, you know, my computer don't be over here dancing all across the desk. But big shout out to, I really love the customer service over at Main Gear, man. They really was just, like, on the phone. They really was, like, hands-on, like, hey, all right, we're doing this. We're doing that. Like, I literally got an update every time that they were doing something. And it came back. And I had a beef with FedEx because I had 3 packages disappear. So I was afraid for my computer. I was like, if my computer does not get here, I am going. I was sending pictures to everybody on Twitter of me sitting in the window looking like Malcolm X or something. I'm just standing in the window peeking through the blinds. Like, but yeah, but anyway, it feels good to be back, man. It feels good to be talking to you guys and talking about games and stuff we love. Got a lot of stuff coming down the pipeline. I could finally start working on the other podcast with a good friend, Avi. We're working on that. This is going to be like a very, very loose podcast. We're talking about any and everything from pop culture to whatever we feel like talking about. That's coming soon. We're going to work on that this weekend, actually. And it just, like, with the round table, we just putting stuff out there, man.
Yes,
we want to help too. We want to, what
we're
does
not,
BZ say? Entertain,
down,
motivate,
educate,
teach. Yeah.
And
that's a good ass motto. BZ, put that shit on a shirt, man.
And
put that shit on a shirt.
Seach. All right, I'm done. Thank you guys for hanging out, man. That's the episode of 168. We will catch you guys next time, man. See you later. Peace.